Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and so is Survivor. We have finally made it after the chaos of the last, 16 months, 15 months, whatever it is. Survivor 41 preseason begins today officially. The cast is here. The 18 people are real. I've never been more excited to see 18 new faces, even though I've kind of seen them a couple times now. But hey, this is the official day. CBS.com/Survivor pretty much doesn't exist anymore. So we're going based off of everything else. That is like one thing I learned today. Alexa, how you feeling that we are back and Survivor 41 is a real thing that's really happening?
I am feeling so great. The reason my phone was just up, if anyone is staring at me while Phil is talking, is because I was putting this on our Instagram story because we finally have things to post about on social media. I didn't count down the days. I know you just counted down the months. It genuinely doesn't even feel like we're talking about a real new cast. And sure, we may or may not have seen these, but I have actually not been able to dive into this cast whatsoever today. I got to my computer about 20 minutes ago for the first time all day. So this will be a new kind of cast assessment for Phil and I together. But this is so great. We are finally getting, I missed all the cringy questions and answers. Mm-hmm. It's all cringe and it's all kind of funny. And I'm so excited. And this is so early. This is the only day we did not plan for this to happen today. I'm looking at the date and it's August 30th. And I feel like a cast has never been announced in August before.
It's so they used to do them in mid-August and they just stopped altogether. And then I got a text from John Millsap today. Hey, can't believe they did it today. And I was like, did what? Huh? I'm sitting there not prepared at all. And here's the deal. We know you all are super ready to talk about new Survivor because, hey, we've been dying for it here.
What else do you possibly want to talk about right now?
But we have a sponsor here for this episode, and it's Vintage Survivor Store. So you're all ready to talk about new Survivor, but we're taking one last moment to reflect on the last 15 months of watching our favorite old school Survivor seasons. Maybe you're one of those people who just came to the realization that Vanuatu really is a top five season and you wish you had merchandise from that season. Well, Vintage Survivor Store is the place for you. Vintage Survivor Store is an online shop stocked with brand new mint condition memorabilia from all your favorite old school Survivor seasons. We're talking buffs, bandanas, limited edition mugs, and autographed photos, t-shirts, trading cards, and more. Family-run operation was started by longtime Survivor superfan Dan Knoll, who Jeff Probst called the gatekeeper of all things Survivor because of his collection and connections within the Survivor community. Sadly, Dan passed away from cancer last year, but his family continues to run this incredible online store in his honor. And right now, Survivor Specialist listeners can get 10% off their entire order at Vintage Survivor Store if you make a purchase within the next 48 hours. All you have to do is go to VintageSurvivorStore.com and enter the code SEASON41 at your checkout. It's VintageSurvivorStore.com and coupon code SEASON41. Head over there quickly to take advantage of this limited time deal. Get your favorite old school Survivor memorabilia. And if you are an Ethan Zahn fan, this is the place for you. Go over there really, really quickly.
Huge shout out to one of our dear friends of the podcast and patrons, McKenna Feeney, who really set us up with this connection. We're really excited to have our first ever real life sponsor, and not only real life sponsor, but actually directly related to Survivor. This has never
happened. Isn't that fun? It's so fun. And if you're interested in that, it's in the link, season 41, VintageSurvivorStore.com. It's one of those things like Alexa and I, we always look at it with the sponsors. Who do we want to go to if we could get a sponsor? This is the perfect thing. We've all been sitting here watching old school Survivor. Alexa and I have come up with so many pointless, random little YouTube ads or YouTube playlists, whatever you want to call it, for the last 15 months. So go over there. If you've re-fallen in love with an old season, that's the place to go. They have a Vanuatu hat, which I might go get. So anyway, season 41 cast.
Woo!
What's up, season 41 cast? So we all don't know if any of these people were actually on the original season 41. We don't know if these are people who are just coming, you know, brand new because we had the big diversity campaign after everything that went on back in March, April, and May of last year. We don't know what is going on here. If these are all newbies who were recast, if these are people who've been waiting around for a year and a half now to get out there and have their chance to play, we don't know. But the one thing we do know is that they're all here and we're probably going to get their stories a lot more in depth as this starts going on. We have two Canadians, and in terms of diversity, there's definitely a check mark in that box for this season. Alexa, it's three tribes. We barely know anything about them. We didn't really get any interview type questions, which makes a lot of sense considering during COVID, I doubt they were going to have the press go out there to Fiji. It's difficult enough just to get these people out there to Fiji. Initial takes from the 15 seconds you spent looking at these people today.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah. So I actually, my notebook, which is like a step away from me right now, I actually had everyone broken up by tribes, but like Phil said, I have not been able to look at this cast whatsoever today. And I'm actually just looking at the very first person that we're going to be talking about. But from what I saw, just based on the photos of this cast that I may or may not have seen a few months ago, yeah, I was really excited. And now just reading through, you know, just like reading through the press, and even though they couldn't do like the direct interviews, I do know that Parade is going to be coming out with their usual like features. So I think we are going to get more in-depth content as, you know, as the cast continues to marinate on the public. So super, super excited.
Yeah. And I saw the video that they all did where it was like, why I'm going to win Survivor. And I forget who it was, but somebody said, because I'm determined. And I was like, everybody else got like 15 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds. You said one word. I forget who it was, but I'll remember as we start going through this. Yeah. If you're a patron of us, you know that we've known these cast members for quite a while now. Inside Survivor put it out there a long time ago. So we've known about it. And if you've been listening, you've had literally like 200 days of daily content. And I think like 50 or 60 of those days was just about the season 41 cast. So this isn't new to us, but I'm very happy that I got to hear their voices. And I'll tell you what, somebody like David, not the voice I was expecting at all. And wow, is he just going to be a strategic game bot type player? I cannot wait to see this guy play Survivor just based on what I saw from his
I can't wait to hear the voices, because even just the full body shots are completely different than, crazily enough, the blurry Instagram shots that were taken on Inside Survivor. I don't recognize any of these people. In a good way. They got the total island glow up here. So
I love it.
Shout out to the photographers.
Well, and shout out to the photographers.
Looking good.
Yeah. And shout out to the photographers for the Phil and Alexa Survivor Specialist show here, because I have the pictures in a PowerPoint here. All the pictures came from Robert Voigt from CBS. So all of them came from him. They're all at the bottom. It is there. But I'm sure his photos look much better than what I have going right now, because I have the nice pixelated. Hopefully you can see their faces. If you're watching this at home, hey, at least you'll have a general idea of who we're talking about. So we're going to break this down actually by how the tribes were kind of spoiled, rumored to go down. So we want to do it that way, because for those of you who have been following us from the beginning, you know that we do our bootless game. We do our we'll do a power ranking game for our $20 patrons. We have a bootless game, and we have our prop bet game, which is going to be the bigger one. The prop bet game is always the best one. We're going to be doing all of that. And so it's just easier to tell you already what tribe they're most likely going to be on, so that when you're making those, you're not shocked. I'm sure it's going to come out very shortly anyway. Maybe it already came out today. I don't know. But I did not see it, so I don't believe it did. But we're just going to go kind of based on how it's going. So
yeah, let's do it. Let's get started.
Okay, here we go. So we're starting off with one of the tribes, which I didn't look up the names. One of the tribes, and we're starting with Eric Abraham. There he is. What did I tell you about Pixely? What did I tell you about Pixely?
It's, and I'm looking at the not. Did you not just like take a screenshot of that?
I did.
Oh, well, that's problematic. And you have a new computer too, so something's wrong here. I've got his profile up right here. First thing I thought of when I saw him, he does not look 51. This guy looks like he can lift a truck. I don't know the rest of this tribe, but this guy looks like a physical specimen. I think he'll do great from a challenge perspective, but also his answers are very, very in depth. And one of my favorite questions is, who would you play like? Because that's always just like kind of ridiculous. And this guy wants to do a combination of Richard and Wendell with a whisper of Boston Rob. He didn't say whisper. I said
he
that,
said but touch. Yes, touch. But you got to make it more dramatic for the fans at desire. Home. I love that, and I love that he just went for like three winners and just said, you know what, like three winners who don't play the same in any way, shape, or form. Yeah, but it's funny. I wouldn't expect. It says he loves scuba diving, which
yeah, we have a provider on the tribe. I think we have a provider option.
Yeah, but that's just, I would not expect him to be, he's a cybersecurity analyst who lives in San Antonio. So being a scuba diver. Yeah, like there's not really like, I feel like he's not like an ocean guy. Like he doesn't seem like he lives by the ocean. So that's kind of, I'm kind of interested to see how that's going to end up going on. It says he also enjoys examining the surface of the moon, stars, or passing comets with his very own telescope. This guy,
is that something you don't enjoy doing?
I was just going to say, based on how this guy's talking already, I feel like we have our first coach in the making here for this season.
Really? I don't get that at all. Here's my question for you. Can you tell me what sycophantic means? Because I Googled it and I really liked what I got out of the Google, because the similar word was toady or creepy.
Yeah, a sycophant.
He doesn't like people who are like
that. Yeah, I mean, a sycophant, isn't that like, that's like something that you would say to insult somebody, but you don't actually have to know what it means because they're not going to know what it means either.
Or like you sound really smart by insulting them.
Yes. Yes. And I love that. That coach thing just got people so thrown off here in the chat. I love that. No, I'm just saying, based on the fact that he's talking about.
He's deep.
Examining the moon. He doesn't just want to look at the moon. He wants to examine it. Like, that's what I think is interesting about this guy. That's how coach would speak, you know? So that's all I'm saying. But basketball, golfing, reading. He's 51. He is one of the older people on this season. Mm-hmm. But do we think that that's actually going to end up, like, being a detriment on a season that is definitely older than we've seen in recent seasons?
Yeah, and I don't look at him. I mean, here's the thing, and this is terrible, but a lot of times when people target the quote unquote older player, it's usually because they appear to be older. Mm-hmm. I think if Joe Del Campo didn't look as old as he was, then I don't think I think people would be looking at him as a different type of player. I never would guess 51. And this guy clearly seems to be very like able bodied in terms of a challenge and or provider aspect. But I think he's clearly well-researched. He's thought out. He likes to look at the moon. I mean, this guy, he doesn't strike me as somebody who's going to stick out, even though you just related him to coach. So you and I are going totally different.
No, I don't think he's going to stick out. I just think it's funny. Just reading those two quotes, I'm like, who would speak like this? The Bard coach. That's who would speak like that. he also was in the Air Force. I think that definitely explains a lot of what's going on here.
Totally.
Yeah, I think with him being in the Air Force, that'll definitely have an impact. But
he spends a lot more time closer to the moon than you or I do. So
for sure. For sure. And just so you know, the other men on his tribe are David and Xander. That is the rumor around. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to throw up this guy right now, because I feel like we might as well give everybody we'll give everybody their time, and then we'll kind of get into who we think is going up. And I got to ask you about this game within a game thing that I'm sure you never even got to look at today, but we're definitely going to have to talk about that. So anyway, this is not what I expected at all from the doctor, right? He is a doctor.
David Voci, I love your bathing suit. He's a neurosurgeon.
This is why we have Alexa on the podcast, because I would never say that.
Yeah. Oh my God, love your bathing suit. I am going to do a quick read on David, but what I first need to do about him is I got to give him a huge shout out, which is maybe a shout out or also maybe blowing up his spot big time. But as a lot of you know, for our $20 patrons, we were doing daily content, and Phil and I each gave our takes about one photo of every single one of these cast members. David Voce became a $20 patron to hear our probably highly uneducated takes. Shout out to you, David. Thanks for
that. And I'm sure it is very, very, very uneducated takes, because I think I had David, though, pinned as a definite villain on this season. I think I had him pinned as a villain, and I still think that he is going to be a villain based on this picture and based on in his little like 3 seconds that he got in that entire episode or in that entire little clip. He just said like, I have a strategy and I'm going to execute it. And the way he spoke, I was like, this guy is going to be a game bot. It's really funny right now. Everybody in the chat is saying he looks just like Ben Shapiro. And oh my God, does his face look just like Ben Shapiro.
He looks just like Ben Shapiro. That's a great, great. Yeah,
that's either a great compliment to David or a great insult. It's going to depend on how he feels about Ben Shapiro, but he looks a lot like Ben Shapiro. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, we're strictly talking about him from a physical perspective. So that's what we got. His hobbies include eating. So I like him.
Yeah,
I think that's a great hobby. But yeah, I see what you're saying here. Which past survivor we play the game most like? He talks about Russell, which is something that like is maybe sort of tired, but he actually goes into it a little bit. And then he talks about Phil's favorite strategist of all time, Kelly Wentworth, in that she plays the cutthroat game, but isn't seen like a jerk the way that Russell is. And he talks about Ceri a little bit too. So I like where he's coming from with that. And I think, I mean, I think especially his reasoning for going into neurosurgery is something that's clearly very dear to him. And I think like, I'm sure with a history like that, I'm sure he's, I don't see him being like a jerk to be the bad guy. He just doesn't seem like he's a bad person. So I think he's going to try to play like the cutthroat strategic game without being unlikable.
Yeah, I think that he is going to come across as unlikable though. And I don't mean that he's not going to come across in an unlikable and a bad way.
Because his eyebrows are turned down.
It might be, he looks like, he really does look like if you drew an angry face, this is how you would draw the angry face. And like
dots and like the,
and the two eyebrows going down. And it could just be the sun, who knows. But I think that this guy, yes, he understands the game of Survivor, I think, without a doubt. I think that he's got, with talking about Ceri and Kelly and Russell and why he wants to merge all of them together to create this like great strategy. I just worry, what if his strategy goes awry? Is he going to be able to adapt in the situation? I mean, he's a neurosurgeon, so I hope that if he's doing surgery, like he's going to be able to adapt to the situation as it comes. But I do feel like he might run into a little bit of trouble if it doesn't go exactly his way early on. The thing is, what's interesting about the people he mentioned is none of them actually had a good start to the game. Russell Hance is obviously part of the FOA4. Ceri very easily could have been the second boot of that season. And Kelly Wentworth didn't do well in San Juan del Sur. So he's actually discussing people who had to play the game way harder because they didn't have the means that somebody like, I don't know, you know, Joey Amazing has, where Joey Amazing goes out there in Cambodia and what, he went the longest time without going to a tribal council, or maybe that was when he actually played with Julie. I don't even remember, but he's talking about people who had to play from day one. So if he's already strategizing that way, maybe he is going to be okay in this early phase. I just wonder, out of those people, who's he looking to align with? Because they all aligned with very, very different people. What is David's ideal person to align with?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. Who else is on his tribe?
So Xander is the next one we're going to. There he is.
One of the young ones, right?
One of the young ones. So I believe Xander is one of the, I think he might be one of the youngest 21
years old.
21. Okay. So not quite the youngest. I think Jarius and I don't know if I actually, I still don't know if I'm saying Jarius right or not. I think Jarius and Liana are both younger. Xander's photo here looks so much different than how his photo looked.
Oh my God. Yeah. Completely different.
Completely. And Jordan Alford just said Devin Pinto 2.0. He looks identical. What is like, what is this? The clone season? Hair.
They have the exact same hair. It's like long and it's like flowy with good curls, but like could be a bowl cut if it was straightened.
It doesn't get long. It's like not quite long, like really long. It's, I don't know. So he's from Jacksonville, Florida, currently living in Chicago, and he's an app developer.
I think he, if I remember stalking correctly, I think he goes to University of Chicago, or I guess maybe has graduated at whatever point. One thing I noticed immediately, this, and we talk about like if the pet peeves are strategically placed or not. I've noticed most people I've clicked on so far have said that laziness is a pet peeve, which is especially interesting because sure, that's obvious on Survivor, but we've also noticed that a lot of recent winners kind of win because they're lazy. So I wonder if they're trying to do something with that.
Yeah.
Love Tommy.
No, for sure. For sure. That's a really good, that's a good point. Like, could it be that everybody is overthinking this to the point where now they're all putting the same thing? I mean, that is kind of funny that they're all putting lazy. That's weird. And it's not like season 40 had like lazy winners running around. So
yeah,
that's weird. I was going to say, I like this guy because his Nike Cross Nationals, the Super Bowl of cross country. I think the Foot Locker one is the Super Bowl of cross country, but Nike Cross Nationals is pretty good too. Nike Cross Nationals is the team one. Foot Locker is the individual one. And he's a Florida guy, and he was surprised that they even qualified chilling 40 degrees, not for Florida people. And they placed in the top.
Lauren for saying that Tommy is lazy. Thanks for hopping in the chat, Lauren.
Oh, thank you, Lauren.
Right now.
And here's the next one. So lazy. So lazy. So there we go.
Has to comment twice to confirm how lazy Tommy is.
I can't. But okay, I was distracted because I'm reading off his thing. I just wanted to say cross country guys always have a place in my heart. Top 10 Nike Cross Nationals is no joke. Although if you qualified as like one of the three teams from Florida, then maybe that's a little bit easier. I'm just saying, New Jersey, you know, I gotta throw my shade at Xander as much as I can. But well, good definitely. For Xander. That's awesome. I'm now living in Florida. And you know what? I'd rather be top 10 than number one if it means I get to live in Florida instead of New Jersey. So I'm on your side now, man. But no, I think this guy is going to be incredibly physically fit. The one thing I wonder, and we have seen this every time a cross-country runner has played Survivor, and I know this because it was my life for so long, cross-country runners are freaking weird. And so is he going to be – like Eric Reichenbach is a weird dude. Like Carter was a weird guy. How is Xander going to be? Is he going to be kind of a mix of those two?
Wow, what a fun trio you've just named there out of these cross-country runners. What I actually think is potentially his biggest red flag is that – He says he will play the game most like he is self-describing the pretty boy challenge beast. Like he is saying that he wants to play like that. I don't think that's a particularly good thing because that person does not win.
Yeah, that doesn't win. And it's weird. Like, is that something that you just have to own? I think he has to
lean into it. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I think he's like, he knows what his deal looks like. And I think maybe people will figure out his age and just make all these assumptions about him that he kind of can't crawl out of.
Yeah. And my thing is I'd much rather him try to go that route than the Yerger route, because I think Michael Yerger like just kind of went and like tried to play it almost too intelligently. And yeah. I'd rather just like, if you think you're the physical threat, go out there and try to be the physical threat who wins. And not for nothing on this season. I mean, maybe one day people will wake up to the fact that the physical threats don't win Survivor and that they're actually not threats at all. And maybe that could be Xander's strategy of like, none of you are physical threats. One of you is going to win the game. I have no chance because you're going to vote me out at some point anyway. Maybe that's how he can navigate the game. It kind of depends how big of a fan he is.
Mm-hmm. I can't tell if he's a big fan or not. I mean, enough so that he mentioned Devin.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Will Arbuckle.
I don't know who that is, but he wants to know the spelling. It's with an X, not a Z.
It's with an X, which is pretty badass.
Yeah. Well, it's because it's Alexander. He just chopped that off.
But, yes.
But yeah, meandering through the crowded bazaars of Western China is something that he said that he does too, that nobody would ever know. So
meandering, a lot of good vocab words people are using on this cast.
I know. Are they all really, really smart? Or did like the person who typed this up for the press release just use like all the synonyms to make them sound smart?
No, what was that March Madness team a couple years ago where they purposely used big words to try to like trip up the stenographer? I feel like that's what's going on.
Oh gosh, I don't even know who that is.
Oh, that always cracked me up.
Well,
cool.
All right, we're going on to the women of this tribe. So we're through three men. We're going on to the women of this tribe, and we are going to Liana.
Awesome. What's your take on Liana?
My take on Liana is I loved Liana when I first saw Liana come up in casting. Whether I will still love Liana now, I don't know, but I think Liana has a really – really, really cool backstory from what I remember. There's none of it like in here. So I'm going to look it up and make sure that I'm not confusing her with somebody from season 42. But as long as I'm not, Alexa, what's your take on Liana?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't like creep on the cast as much as you. So I actually don't
know
anything, if that wasn't clear. I would not creep on in a bad way. But I don't know anything about her backstory, but we were just talking about how Xander is one of the younger players. She's 20 and she's actively still in college. I think she doesn't talk like a college student. I mean that in a good way, like talking about how and why like Missy Copeland is her hero. I think that's really well thought out. And I think mm-hmm. that kind of applies to the rest of her answers. I think she's solid. I can't get like a good, she wants to play like Tony, which I feel like is the new sort of the new, I want to play like Ceri. So I don't get Tony vibes from her. And I actually mean that in a good way. Like she seems, for somebody who's 20 and still in college, she does seem like she's very mature and probably would be able to fit in with Eric, who's 51 years old. So I really don't think the age gap for anyone on the season is going to be as particularly stark as it usually is. So I get a pretty, like, I get a standard vibe from her. Like she doesn't totally jump out to me, but I don't think there's anything that
so
red flag for me.
She did. She went and did like a thing out in Cameroon.
Okay.
And she's lived in Japan with her family. She's Jewish and African-American, and she's from, and then she did like this whole thing like out in Cameroon. I don't know exactly what it was, but it was some sort of like student delegate or student activist or something like that. She does spoken word poetry. I think that there's a lot of depth to her that you're not necessarily going to get from a lot of 20-year-olds. And I mean that as a sincere compliment, because very, like when I was 20, there was, I was deep, but I wasn't as deep as I thought I was. And I think that there's probably a lot more depth to Liana than what we were thinking. So what might originally come out when you're looking at just this EW thing, like I really like her. I think that she's got a really good shot if she can fit in with this tribe. I don't see David being somebody who was like, I'm coming in the game to play with 20-year-old Liana. Like I doubt that. So it's going to kind of depend on where things set up on her tribe, but maybe Xander wants to play with Liana.
Yeah, I think you could get an automatic Xander connection. She's also from Evanston, Illinois, and he lived in Chicago. And I know Evanston, I'm pretty sure, is a suburb of Chicago. So there's an automatic connection there, along with them being very close in age.
Is there any part of Illinois that's not a suburb of Chicago? Like if people live there, it has to be near Chicago.
I think they exist, but I don't think they're on Survivor.
Yes, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, so I'm actually a big fan of Liana. I think she could be sneaky. I think that she could be a somebody that we don't on paper, it doesn't scream, okay, finalist or something like that. But I think she's somebody who could sneakily make her way through this game for sure. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go on to the next person. There's my mouse. All right, we got Evie. So I got to actually bring up Evie now. So not what I expected her pictures to be. So go ahead, Alexa.
Evie doesn't like men. Are you okay with this, Phil?
She doesn't like men, not men, not all men, but I can't stand machismo and mansplainers. Anything like that drives me insane. I don't know. I'm not like,
oh, she dated a guy who pronounced it Budapest. That's funny.
Well, let me explain to you why Budapest is funny, Alexa, real quick. Maybe that'll get Evie mad at me.
Wait, Phil, I didn't understand the joke. Can you explain it to me?
Yeah, let me explain it to you, and then I'll get that going. Yeah, so okay, here's gonna be the thing for Evie then. Who on this tribe is the mansplainer, do you think, out of the three men that we already talked about? Who's Evie going to have the hardest time with out of the three? And to the three men who are listening, apologies in advance because we don't know you. But who do you think Evie's going to have the hardest time with?
You're totally baiting me here.
I am. That's why I'm not doing it. You do it.
Strictly because this person made it very clear that they want to be a villain, I'm going to go with David. But he doesn't strike me as a mansplainer. He seems like a lovely guy.
Yeah,
I'm doing a qualifier because Phil's making me say something bad about someone, which you all know I hate to do.
I am very curious to see how this will play out. I like Evie. I like that she wore a tie and shorts in her other picture.
I love that she leans into the fact that she used to be straight and finds it confusing that people ever believed that. I think that is hilarious.
Yeah, I love that. And I also, I just love that Survivor, no matter what happens, no matter who the person is, no matter what their personality is, it's like, all right, we're going to put up your bikini photo, even though in the other picture or whatever, in the other picture, she's wearing a tie and like something else. So like, yeah. But I liked Evie originally. I think Evie's got like a pretty good idea of like speaking like two groups of people. Is she leaning into this man hate thing? I think probably. Maybe like part of her for sure is like, I hate the mansplainers and I hate some men and they're my pet peeve. But I think she's leaning into it because, hey, it's going to build up a much bigger fan base right now to say that. So.
And she's being funny about it. Like, that's what I appreciate. Like, she's being pretty funny about it. I did like she said. Oh, wait, maybe it was someone else made a comment about how short they are. She's 5'2". Never would guess that she's 5'2". Does not look it.
Yeah, I can't gauge how tall anybody is because
That's true. Hometown Westchester, New York, probably like one of very few New Yorkers on the season. So sup. Oh my god, and lives in Arlington, Massachusetts.
I grew up. There you go. So now is that your favorite player now?
I think I have to because it's annoying. There's normally like way too many people from Boston and New York on a season, and now it's good. Now I get to pick a winner or whatever.
There you go. And you're picking Evie Hagoda.
That's it. I don't want to commit to anything yet.
I like her. We'll see what ends up happening. We'll see how opinionated some of these players are when they start playing Survivor and how opinionated they are in the pregame.
Yeah, we see this all the time. They always get super spicy in the preview.
Yeah. And then a lot of them turn it off to go further in the game, or maybe Evie will be like very in our face early on and then maybe she'll go far, or maybe she'll just how so many people in the past who don't turn it off go out early. So
we're going to get something fun regardless of how long we get her.
Yes. And now I'm going to take a second to go to the next picture so we can actually pull this up and so that we can all get to her because I haven't been getting to anybody either. Last person from this first tribe here. Boop, boop, boop. It is Tiffany Seeley.
Tiffany Seeley, who also shout out / blow up became $20 patron. Of the Survivor Specialist, Colin Alexa.
All of our money came from
I think I said great things about Tiffany. Is she the teacher? Yes. I'm liking Tiffany.
So Tiffany, I went through, and for season 41 for our $20 patrons, I made the case for why a woman was going to win this season. And then it all came down to my case being that Tiffany was going to be the one who was going to win this season out of the women. And I literally broke it down based on out of all the other women who are playing this season, we haven't seen anybody like them win, but Tiffany closely resembles some of the older women who have won this game before. So I'm giving her a little bit more of a chance just because of that, but that's where I got to. So I'm definitely a big fan of Tiffany, the teacher from New York, who likes running, talking to people, building things in the house, and she's funny, loving, and loud, which, as we all know, New Yorkers are loud. So we're not surprised by this.
She also did all caps loud just to really get it across. I think she's going to win because clearly this woman's day-to-day life includes things that you do on Survivor, such as not brushing your teeth before bed and, quote, never washing your face. I love that she said that. Her pet peeves, there are two people so far who have complained about loud chewers. So maybe there's another loud chewer on this season.
Maybe.
I mean, I get that.
I mean, I'll go into the TMI here. I also hate brushing my teeth before bed. And my fiance gives me a really hard time about it. And I'm
probably doesn't like, you know, breathing in that.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I don't like breathing in mintiness. So, you know, whatever. And I'm just trying to.
McDonald's flavored toothbrush.
I also get to bed like 15%. Or 15 minutes earlier than her. So, you know, it's whatever, but I'm just saying, like, you got Tiffany here doing that, not liking to brush her teeth, not liking to wash her face. Are we buying that these are things, or are we thinking that she's playing this up for the promo?
I mean, I bet that's one of those things that like not many people admit, but a lot of people actually do. I love Tiffany. I have a concern that she said she hates being wrong. Most people hate being wrong. However, on Survivor, you are going to be wrong a lot of the time. How does she respond to being wrong? I assume that also her being a teacher, I'm not sure what grade she teaches, hopefully not fourth grade, so she doesn't talk about it all the time like Tommy did. Mm. But I think being a teacher is an amazing, amazing quality. Teaching time with Tiffany. Good comment, Jordan. I think being a teacher is probably one of the best occupations that you can have to be on Survivor.
Yes. So I agree. I do agree with you. I think teaching is a very good occupation to have. Teachers get far in the game. And that was something that I had said, like, New York,
annoying people.
So think about this. New York older women, and I say older, 47, whatever, it's Survivor. So you're older now, older. Tiffany. New York older women go very far in Survivor in recent seasons. Chrissy, she's like New York, New Jersey. She's close enough.
Well, she's D.C.
Is she now?
Oh, she was, no, excuse me. She was New Jersey. You're right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Julie Rosenberg, New York City, older. Now we have Tiffany. And I think that that's going to help her. But I also think the teaching thing helps her unless she does go this whole Tommy route of like, I'm just so suave and I'm so good. But I don't think she's going to go that route. I think she's there to be in your face.
Yeah, I think they're very different. Tight. I think the only thing that she and Tommy have in common are the fact that they're both from New York and that they're both teachers. I don't see her playing the way that Tommy did at all. Maybe she, I mean, ideally she wins for her, but I don't think she plays the same way that Tommy does.
Yeah. All right. So thank you, Will, for that. So here we are. That's one tribe. So we just rolled through that one tribe. I'm just going to take her off the screen real quick. So that's Eric, Xander, David, Evie, Liana, and Tiffany. That's one tribe. I like this tribe. I'm a fan of this tribe. I think this tribe's got some game. However, I want to just take a quick break before we go to the next tribe. And I want to ask you, did you see this thing about a game within a game?
I hear it a lot and I've read about it. Does it mean something or is it a Jeffism?
No. So what Jeff is doing or what Jeff claims is happening is that there's going to be this thing for junior future Survivor players to kind of play along as this season goes along. Now, is this going to be something like when you go to the movie theater and it's like, all right, you got 30 seconds to kill the alien spaceships and the screen is blank and everybody goes on their phone and plays like shoot the aliens? Or is this going to be something like, that's actually on my TV?
Yeah, is this going to be like Dancing with the Stars? Like they're not involved. Like the fans aren't involved, are there?
I don't know. The fans aren't involved, but the fans like can play along or something like that.
Okay. I don't know. It sounds like there's nothing to know, but I don't know. I'm a little wary on that. I'm very wary of it. I don't like involving anyone who is not on the cast.
Jack Friedman says it's just hidden puzzles on the screen.
Oh, well, that's cool.
And John says it's a series of codes in which fans will have to solve over the season. I think it could be okay, but I don't like the direction it's going.
Sure, that's cool, but I'm watching TV. I'm already watching something.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very interesting. So this is what's going to be happening. That's something. Supposedly Jeff's going to be breaking the fourth wall again, kind of like he did back in season one. I'm more okay with Jeff breaking the fourth wall. I think that's okay for him to kind of explain, hey, this is what's going on. What I don't like is supposedly, yes, this is Blue's Clues. Jeff's just going to sit in a chair and be like, what? Liana? Where? Look around. But what I don't like is supposedly we're going to be told things in advance. And like, what would you do with this information or something like that? They're definitely going in on taking new chances and trying to make this a new era of Survivor.
Yeah.
But I'm always going to be somebody who sits there and is worried until I actually see it proven. And this one has me a little worried.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like if I'm already watching a show, why do I need to play? Maybe you can like do the puzzle too, like in a challenge. I don't know. We'll have to, and then
we'll like keep the episode going for 2 hours until one of the fans figures out the puzzle.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
And then they get to vote someone out. Yeah, this is interesting.
It's going to be interesting, but I just wanted to bring that up before we get into the next tribe.
Okay, no, I'm very glad you did.
All right, so did that give you enough time to get to the next person too?
Yes, and this is someone I already had read about. Very Perfect. Excited about.
There God. He is.
Oh, am I frozen?
No. You just screamed Brad, so I figured I'd let you
Brad,
keep going.
Yes, Brad does not look like what he looked like in his...
At all. This guy looks like he's 35 years old now.
Brad is jacked, and it's probably because he's a farmer. But he has, first of all, best teeth on the season so far. Also, aged 50 does not look 50. I really think that although there seems to be, we're talking about a lot of 20-year-olds, we're talking about a lot of 50-year-olds, I am not seeing a gap. I really think everyone's going to gel pretty well here.
Yeah, I think that there's enough on both sides of the spectrum and there's enough people to bridge the gaps in between. Brad, I mean, so here's the thing. Everybody talks about LA, New York, South Beach. Maybe Shawnee, Wyoming is where all the really good looking people go to age and never age. You know what I mean? Like maybe that's where it happens.
Yeah, he's looking pretty good.
How will he lose? He be drinking milk.
We also want to make it very clear that we would never objectify contestants. We're very sorry if anyone thought that we were doing that. Okay, he's a private pilot and a rancher, and he's almost died by a rattlesnake bite, and he's almost been blown up by a propane tank. I never would have expected any of these answers from him. I'm so excited for Brad. He, I'm sure, was cast to be the guy with the thick accent and to be on a tribe full of presumably city goers. He was totally cast to be the fish out of water here, but I think people are going to love him. And I don't necessarily think in a Keith Nail kind of way. I think that he will strategically contribute.
I think that he's actually going to be really good. I actually am very excited to see this guy play the game. I think he's going to surprise some people. Mainly because while he lives out in Wyoming, which might be a detriment to like, how am I going to keep up with these city people and all of that? Or at least that's what we think when we live in the city and we're the ones who are talking all the time. I think he actually does do some like hunting expeditions and stuff, and he runs a business. And when you're running a business in Wyoming, yeah, you're going to get a lot of people from Wyoming, but you're going to get people from all over the country who are coming to that. Because while I personally hate Wyoming and find it to be absolutely terrifying because it looks like you're on Mars the entire time, a lot of people find that state to be incredibly beautiful. When he's talking about blowing himself up with a propane tank and all that, that sounds like Wyoming to me. And that's why I'm terrified of that state. But I think that this guy is going to have a little more cunning to him than somebody like Rick Nelson, who I guess wasn't from Wyoming, even though I thought he was. I guess he's from Utah. But somebody like Rick Nelson or somebody like Dale Wentworth, who was kind of just like, you know, farmer in Washington. Like,
yeah.
I think there's going to be more to him because he has to be social. The guy is jacked. He's 50. I think I have the same bathing suit he's wearing in this picture. I don't know. I think he's actually got a really good shot on this season. I don't think he'll win, but I think he's going to go very far.
I think he will suffer from what all, and I'm going to say this, anyone who has like a charming accent have suffered. People loved Elaine the second she walked on. I think people are just going to really, really like Brad.
And I will say, though, the one knock against him and the reason he's actually going to be pre-merge, he's going to play like Boston Rob. So guess what? You're not going to make the jury, man.
You have a quote. We don't have the same personality.
Love. I know. But his thoughtful, strategic play. Tell me one thing thoughtful about Marquesas.
Feels incorrect. But we love you anyway, Brad.
Got to throw my shade when I can. All right, here we go. I'm gonna take it off. I'm going to see who the next person is. Give Alexa a second. Oh, all right, cool. Here we go. Okay. We can roll. We can absolutely start rolling. So we are moving on to, I don't know why when I click the picture, it takes me to the next picture. We're going to Ricard he's the flight attendant from Linwood, Washington, currently lives in Sadro Woolley, Washington. I don't know what that means. I don't know where that is. Pet peeve, being asked a question and the answer being ignored. Alexa, how does that make you feel? I'm not listening to you.
So what is a Wintergaard hobby?
A what?
His hobbies are violin, running, Wintergaard. Is that a Washington activity?
I don't know. I'm going to look it up right now. Is it? Okay. Oh, yeah. Here you go. Wintergaard is an indoor color guard sport and performance art derived from military ceremonies.
Very cool. That's pretty sweet. I've never heard of that. He is also deaf in one ear, focused heavily on reading lips, and fluent in ASL. Very, very cool because we haven't had a deaf contestant. We had, obviously, Christy from Amazon, mm-hmm. who's kind of like, I think like probably more deaf than Ricard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it Nina also in Worlds Apart? So really interesting. I'm really interested to see kind of how this, you know, how that unfolds throughout the storyline. He also is a TikToker.
He's a TikToker, but what I like most is that he's a flight attendant who's in the LGBTQ community, which means he's going to win, right?
He's going to win.
He has to win.
He is Todd.
He is Todd. Like, he is Todd, except he's married and I think has a kid. So, like, Todd at the time didn't. But when I was looking at it, it was actually kind of funny because when I was saying who's going to win this season, Ricard is who I initially went to because I was like, well, somebody like him has already won the game. Like, somebody literally in his – how you would characterize him on Survivor is the guy.
I think we also have our narrator. I think Ricard is our season's narrator for sure.
Yeah, I think he's got a good story immediately coming in with the deaf in one ear thing, because even when you look at somebody like Chad from Vanuatu, who wasn't a massive player on Vanuatu by any means, he got a lot of screen time early because of that. So I think Ricard will get a lot of screen time early as we introduce this cast and as we get into it. And I don't know. I think he's going to be good. I agree. I like that he says he's going to play like Aubrey Bracco, but win. He's just got to make sure not to take Michelle to the end. That's all.
I would like to play like Aubrey Bracco, but win. That is unbelievably funny.
Yeah, he's just got to not take a Michelle to the end. And Ricard, you'll know that I will stand the Michelle if you find another Michelle out there.
Yeah, Ricard, watch your tongue with comments like that.
Yeah, you better be careful here, man.
I'm not going to pick you to win just because you said that.
Yeah, but I do think, though, in all seriousness, the flight attendant thing is a good career to have to play Survivor. You said teacher, but I think flight attendant is another good one. T-Bird's a flight attendant. We've had
pretty well.
They go pretty far because their whole life is being social. When you're on a plane and your flight attendants suck, that flight sucks because then you're uncomfortable. You're like, I'm a nervous flyer anyway. But like, if you have a bad flight attendant, like we flew back from Colorado like not too long ago, and the flight attendants were like angry the whole time. That makes the whole flight tense. You got to be a good flight attendant. You got to be able to be social. You got to keep people comfortable in a situation that a lot of them aren't comfortable in. And so I think Ricard is going to do pretty well. And I think he's going to, I like the men on this tribe a lot.
Yeah, this is a good tribe so far. Very different, too. They're super, super different.
Yeah. Well, and it's about to get even more different because now we're about to get the 20-year-old. So we're about to get Jarius Robinson, who, again, like, I love the men on this tribe.
Also, I believe he has alleged, we've gotten 500 DMs about this. He's, like, commented on one of our videos before, which, like, is pretty cool. Like, we're always gonna think that's cool no matter what. I wish I knew how to pronounce his name correctly.
We're definitely butchering it, and I'm sorry.
Yes, so we'll learn it correctly soon, and we're sorry in advance for butchering it. He has some great answers to some of his questions. What did you think about him?
I like him because he likes us. So
yeah, we can't even lie about that anymore.
I have to throw this out there. Who of our fans was like, oh, there's Jarius Robinson's name? And I remember that one time 7 years ago when Jarius commented on this video, I'm going to go find the exact, like, how do you do that? Alexa and I have talked about in the past, like, hey, maybe we should do like a little snippet or something of like something we said, and then we can never find it. How did you find that?
I don't know. It always creeps me out when people tweeted us. They're like, but you said this one thing 6 years ago on this tell-all. I'm like, oh goodness, this is just terrifying. Also, doesn't like loud eating. This is the third person to not like loud eaters. I'm telling you, it's a conspiracy.
Yeah.
Also, he volunteers at a children's hospital. He is a genuinely wonderful human being.
There you go. He wants to play like a culmination of Parvati, Fabio, and Jeremy Collins.
That's a great trio. So he's going to be flirty, silly, and...
a dad.
A very well-rounded dad. I was going to say a firefighter.
Yeah, either way. No, I like the Fabio reasoning, though. He says he wants to be underestimated like Fabio. I think that's a good thing. When you're coming in and you're young and he's thinking, okay, I'm going to be underestimated. What can I do with this? And how can I make that work in my favor? Seems like he's going to have a really, really big personality, which I'm all about.
He did say that he was popular in high school, which feels odd. Not in a
why,
bad
Alexa,
way,
Alexa, because you weren't popular in high school. Yeah, is that why it's odd?
I feel like, no, I sure wasn't. I mean, I have no problem with that. But I feel, and also this is, for what it's worth, he's 20. So like high school is obviously the most recent relevant experience in his life. But I feel like most people who say that, that's like not usually a bragging point. However, he wasn't like everyone, like I was so cool. What he says is that he had a hand in every different type of friend.
Yeah.
I think that says a lot.
Always a good thing. Always a good thing. And I think that could help him on this season because his tribe, just that alone, is a wide range of different types of personalities. Somebody said it's Jairus. People are thinking it's Jairus. Maybe it's Jairus. I'm sorry by butchering it, but if it's Jairus, it's Jairus. Jairus Robinson. That's okay. What we're going with.
We're big fans.
Big fans.
Should I just say he should be my winner pick before you take him?
No, I'm not. I'm not going to let you take a winner pick yet. I'm going to make you wait until we get through all 18 of these. That's our halfway point, by the way, folks. So
halfway.
See you guys in 3 hours. All right.
God, no.
Alexa, let's move on to our next person. There she is. So now you can see her and everybody else is going to sit there and go, who is it? I don't know. What I love about the EW website right now is when I click Chantel's face, it shows me a picture of Nasir. When I click Jeannie's face, it shows me a picture of Xander.
Right.
I just want the next person. I just want Sarah Wilson. There she is, Sarah Wilson. All right. Sarah Wilson.
Consultant.
So she no longer lives in Sherman Oaks, which is really, really bad for her because she would have been my winner pick if she still lived in Sherman Oaks.
Maybe she'll be my winner pick because she currently lives in Boston, Massachusetts. I believe she's 24. Healthcare consultant, going on record, the fourth person to say that loud chewing and chewing with an open mouth is something that annoys her.
Who do you think was chewing with the loud? Who do you think was the loud chewer here? Somebody had to have been.
I can't wait until there's someone whose pet peeve is like people who complain about how you eat. That's going to be the person.
Yeah.
Really interesting hobbies. She likes poker, aerial silks, and trapeze, cooking and baking. I like the poker because I totally wouldn't see that with her. And I think that shows that – I think people are going to look at her and assume like the standard like 24-year-old, but I am like so not seeing that with her. I really like her.
No, I think she's going to be a lot more of a physical – beast in these challenges than people are gonna think. The aerial thing, she does like the dancing where you're literally you're on the ribbon that hangs down and you're like doing flips and whatever. That takes an insane amount of strength, and I think she's gonna be really good with that.
Yeah,
so I think that's gonna be really good. Anybody who can live in Sherman Oaks and come out of it with a smile on their face, you know that you're a strong person. I did it. Sarah did it. She's smiling here. I'm smiling all the time. So you know, Sherman Oaks is actually not that bad, but you know, it's in LA, so therefore I don't like it. But I think that Sarah is going to be somebody that could be underestimated. It's going to be a matter of, can she get her tribe through a couple early challenges where they don't go to tribal. I think that's going to be the key thing for her, because I think that she's just going to be super undervalued early on. Mm-hmm. But we've seen some of these girls when they're super undervalued early on, what can they do as they get going? We've seen that from Julia Sokolowski just because she had some time. And I think Haley could kind of fit into that realm a little bit. Snyder says Sarah and Jairus will fall each other, whatever that means, but they're going to fall in.
Yeah. I think they mean that verb in a positive way. I don't really know what the word that is.
Yeah.
I think Sarah's going to be pretty good. I think she'll be really good in team challenges. So I don't think she's like too young or comes off as too naive to like be the immediate first boot. I actually think that her answers are very empathetic. She's 24, like she's a bit out of college. So I actually think, I think she'll assimilate pretty well. And I see like a late merge kind of thing for her.
Yeah, so I'm looking too. And for those of you who were wondering, are we going to have COVID mentioned on this season? Based on Sarah's answers, yes.
Probably,
so,
yes.
So Sarah's grandmother passed away in April 2020 from COVID. And so if you read this answer, this is the kind of COVID coverage that I am totally fine with Survivor having. Because this is explaining why she's inspired to go out there and play, why she's inspired to keep fighting when her back's against the wall. I think that this is going to come up naturally in a very good story type way. And I think it's going to be really great. I think the unfortunate thing is if that comes up and then we start getting it from all the time, it's going to be too much and nobody wants to hear about COVID anymore. We're all done with COVID. So like, we don't want to hear
answer,
about it.
Her answer, I think, is
but
her, like, comment.
Yes. I think that if it fits the narrative with a real purpose, like this one would, then I'm into it for sure.
Yeah, totally. All right. I'm liking Sarah. Right.
So that's Sarah. I like Sarah. Sarah, if you had stayed in Sherman Oaks, you would have been my winner pick. That's
but
we're literally so easy to please. That's all that Alexa and I are looking for. All right. we are jumping over to our first Canadian. So where's John Millsap, eh?
Hey, Canada, maple syrup.
Yeah, where are you at, John? All right, so Chantel Smith.
From Toronto.
Hometown Toronto, but now she lives in Washington, D.C. So is she even a Canadian, fair. John?
She's a Canadian who lives in America's capital.
John.
Oh, she is the improv pastor.
Yes. Pastor who I'm pretty sure is in...
I think she's a TikTok person too, right?
Yes, and I think she's LGBT, isn't she? Or she's like an advocate for that. So like she has a lot of layers to her.
Okay. Awesome. I'm looking right now.
She was in a gang, and then there's no elaboration on that.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Xena Warrior Princess themed birthday party last year. I like the .. last year.
Yeah.
Kim and strategically and relationally like Ty when it comes to idols. I don't think many people have said that they would play like Ty.
Because normally Ty's a bad person to say you're going to play like because Ty lost in a final tribal pretty badly.
I think, she said, why do you think you can win Survivor? I think a lot of people say like, I've been through a lot. I have an adaptable personality, but I think from what it sounds like, I mean, she mentioned she's lived on the streets. She's developed a strong work ethic. It seemed, you know, zero entitlement, self-discipline. Like she seems like she, whatever has happened in her life, she seems like she would directly carry that into playing Survivor well and not just say that. So really interesting there.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how it's all going to be balanced though. And sometimes we see where like people have all this and then it ends up actually hurting them because it's like which part of their personality comes out the most when they actually get out there. Go ahead.
I was going to say true, but I do important to think that she is a pastor and that's somebody who does a lot of listening and also does a lot of inspiring and speaking. So, and I think she's also not like who you'd imagine the standard pastor to be. And I think that'll benefit her.
And then again, though, I come like, does she go like the Roxy route where like Roxy almost used it as a defense mechanism once she got out there? Is that a way that she could go? I think Chantel has a lot of potential. I just want to see what part of her comes out when we actually start to see her play Survivor. Like that's what I'm most curious about is which part of her are we going to see? Is it going to be the pastor? Is it going to be the person who's still dealing with the demons? Like what type of person are we going to see here? Either way, I'm all about it. I'm in. I like it. I'm excited. One of my bold predictions for the season though was that she was going to be the highest placing Canadian and not make the merge. So there you go. Yes, sorry, John. I only do it to take my shots at John when I can.
Adam Jumba. Oh no, wait. He said something funny earlier. The tribe has spoken, eh?
There you go.
Love that.
I like how throwing A at the end of anything is funny to us.
Yeah, we are so like not Canadian. I mean, you said she's our first person from Canada, and I was like, maple syrup? What do Canadians talk about?
Well, we talk about movies. That's what me and John do all the time. So there you go. That's my throw out there. But so that's Chantel. So let's jump over to the last person from this tribe, and then we can kind of look at this tribe as a whole. And this is Character City. She's got the nose ring going.
We love a nose ring.
She's a grocery clerk. Like we've never had that.
We've never had a grocery clerk before.
I know. It's such a common job that like, how is that not something that we have more people doing?
Right. Accomplishment you're most proud of. I got the Hustle Award 1 year at basketball camp when I was 15 years old. I think I also got that. So love that for her.
I got to say this. She's now 46, and that's the accomplishment she's most proud of. 31 years later, she's still got it.
I love that for her. What do we have? Her answers are a little short.
Yes.
Which pastor I really play the game most like? I don't believe in playing like any other contestants before. I love that. I think I like that more than like I could be Natalie White meets Natalie Anderson.
I hate it, and it comes back to my whole film life. When somebody would say to you, "Nope, my script is unlike anything you've ever seen before," you know what I would be like? Every single person in Hollywood, even if they weren't in the room, would roll their eyes because
she's
like,
not saying that mine would be better. She's
no,
just
no,
saying,
no.
Yeah,
but all those people, They're not saying that too. I'm just saying in general, what ends up happening is somebody who says that, you're always going to play like someone. I mean, even if she comes out there and does nothing, she still played like someone. So I get she's not trying to mold it off of somebody. But what I'm worried is maybe that just means that she's not really a big fan of Survivor. And that's going to hurt.
I think there's some legs to that because her answers are short. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a little bit of humor there, but I also like, maybe I think it's funny because like her answers are so short. So I think they're kind of quippy, but she really doesn't give you a lot.
Well, we've never had a grocery clerk. Why are we getting one now? Because we just went through COVID where grocery store workers were so in the know. And here's her pet peeve. People who wear masks incorrectly by not covering their nose and mouth or don't wear them at all. So like, clearly somebody who's very opinionated, clearly somebody who is going to go out there and have a story that we probably would have never had a story. Jeannie is a character, there's no doubt about it, 365 days out of the year. Mm-hmm. However, I feel like Survivor looked at her this time because they're like, there's a character who also is very much in the know here. So, and they all are saying Skinny Ryan was a grocery clerk. So what do I know? But I just think that the timing of Jeannie is purposeful.
Skinny Ryan didn't do so well, so let's see if Jeannie does any better.
Yes, exactly. So right. I don't know, Alexa. What are your overall expectations for Jeannie though? I think
occupation that we don't see much of. I think I originally was like, we're gonna get a huge character, but I just don't know because Jeannie doesn't give much in her answers. So I don't know. I'm just like a little disappointed by like not a ton of elaboration, and maybe she's not a huge fan, which is good. I'm totally down to not have a cast of super fans.
Yeah, that's fine too. So we will see.
I don't know. Jury's still out.
We will see with Jeannie. All right. So we're moving on to the next tribe. So that was the second tribe.
Third tribe.
I know. So we're getting down to the last tribe here, and I don't have like a random talking point to segue into because I covered
totally
all.
That's totally fine.
Let's go to
the third tribe. I believe the colors are green, blue, yellow. I had it written down, but I don't have a notebook on me.
Yeah, and I think we're on to the blue one now. Maybe somebody help. Maybe blue. Anyway, Sydney.
Ooh, let me guess. Phil's love interest.
No. She is the only one though on this season who they are outwardly like, this is supposed to be the really, really attractive person on this season, which is a good thing for a Survivor because I tend to think that seasons where there's like one or two like eye candy type people, guy and girl sides, like Xander could end up being the eye candy on that side.
Yeah.
And when you have too many, like in Ghost Island and everybody's really good looking, you get really shitty seasons. But when you have one or two lumped in and you could have like a Vanuatu type thing where there's like one or two really, really attractive people and then other people who are attractive, but not necessarily on the show for that reason, you get some really interesting dynamics. And I think that Sydney being the only one is probably a good thing. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say, yes, they clearly were like, hey, here's your bikini pose. Do this one because you're the eye candy of this season. But another one with a lot of layers going on here.
I mean, she's also the California state champion across country. Phil, your thoughts?
That's a hard one to win. However,
also lives in Brooklyn. I'm in Brooklyn right now. Sup?
However, and I gotta do this. New Jersey is like one of the only states where it's actually the whole state runs against each other to be state champion. If she went to a really, really small high school, she's not running against the best runners in the state. So she's a state champion, but she didn't run against people who might have beaten her if she actually had to run against them. So because they only go up to sectional, they don't go further than that.
Okay. Still impressed.
I'm still impressed. I mean, that's good.
Absolutely love that she wants to play like Natalie White, not just like for the memes, but one that's clearly someone who's watched Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
She was able to assess her place on the tribe and in her alliance while consciously nursing Russell's ego. That is how you win Survivor. You win by being very aware of your placement in an alliance, as well as whoever your number one is, being very aware of what your relation to that number one is.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's going to work in her favor. I think she's very self-aware. I'm athletic, but not some 6'2" buff dude who will be threatening. I'm not a creature of habit, can adapt. Been watching Survivor. I have the benefit of hindsight. Run.
She's probably great in endurance, but I'm sure she knows that, like, she probably can't lift anything too crazy, but she'll be the last one to collapse on a challenge.
And what's funny is I actually think that with the way that this is going, is she's out here in this small bikini as the eye candy, and I think she has no interest in playing the game that way. Based on her answers, it doesn't seem like it at all.
Yeah, I don't think she wants to be, which, good for her.
Good for her. Weird for Survivor, because they normally have that one flirty person. They don't have it right now, do they? Yeah. I don't know.
I don't think so. I think people are overplaying. I think people are sick of playing that way. And also, I think every woman knows that, like, God forbid they look at someone the wrong way and they're going to seem like Parvati.
Who?
The next Parvati. That was perfect time. I love that text because, like, I don't know how to talk like that. Like,
I just think of SpongeBob with that weird face and his hands behind his back. That's all I got. So, no, I think I like Sydney. I think Sydney's got. I think Sydney's got potential. She's like the anti Jeannie. Jeannie doesn't seem like she knows Survivor at all. Sydney seems like she knows it really, really well. I don't think Sydney is going to give Survivor and casting what they thought they were going to get out of Sydney when she actually comes out and plays the game. And I mean that as a compliment.
I like that.
So
I like it a lot.
Yeah. So that's Sydney. Okay. Next, we are moving on to our second Canadian of the night. And we are talking about Erica Kasupinen. I don't know how to say her last name. Erica Kasupinen. 32, Niagara Falls, Toronto. Occupation, communications manager.
I didn't know. I've been, Niagara Falls is the only place in Canada that I've been. I didn't know it was someone's hometown. Very cool. She had a funny comment about her height. People also don't believe that I'm 5 feet tall because my vibes make me seem 5'3". I thought that was funny.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I also love that she doesn't like men in ill-fitting jeans. I can't even say the word.
Honestly, Erica, like, same. I get that.
What do we consider ill-fitting? Too big? Too tight? Too loose?
Like not right for the body. And I don't think that's a men thing, too. I think it's just like she said that, but like, it's like someone wearing clothes that like clearly do not fit them in a too small or too big way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you see what she said? Which past Survivor you play the game most like? She said, Brenda is physically strong, socially aware, and not afraid to show her teeth.
I hate that. I don't like that.
Hilarious.
That's so funny. That's a wink. That's somebody who knows Survivor.
I am so in on that. I cannot get enough. I love that.
Lot of Todd comments. I love this.
Yeah, these are fans. And I think Survivor tried to get a good balance of fans and people who had no clue what Survivor was to kind of create like this weird like hodgepodge.
Yeah. What do you think about Erica? She seemed like I like her. I'm not like crazy about her, but she seems like wholesome. Like she seems like someone I could be friends with.
I really like Erica. I think she's got no shot.
Okay.
That's my thing. I don't see how she fits in on this tribe. I don't see how she navigates to the end. I don't see how she wins. Like I
see her with Evie more than I do with Sydney aligning.
Yeah. I just don't have a good feeling. And if she's going to align, like when you look at her tribe, I don't love what her tribe is doing for her. I don't have high hopes for Erica. I like her. I think she'll be fun. I don't think that she's going to go very far.
There we have it, people.
There you go.
Okay.
Whoa, I did the wrong picture.
Eek.
Oh no. I didn't put a picture of Heather. Oh no.
No. Okay. Well, I have a photo of Heather.
Do you have a photo of Heather? Can you share the screen?
Oh gosh, I don't know if I can do that easily.
Oh, right. I might have messed up the tribes then.
Heather Aldred, here she is. She's a stay at home. Okay, well, I'll talk about Heather while you're still working on that.
I'm never going to find a picture.
Heather is 52 years old. I believe this makes her the oldest person on the season. However, there are two people who are 50, and conveniently, all three of the players who are in their 50s are all in three different tribes. From Charleston, South Carolina, lives in Charleston, South Carolina. Her occupation is a stay-at-home mom, which I absolutely love. I think we have only gotten like one or two others. I remember I don't know who we interviewed who said this, but they said that a previous casting director was not a fan of stay-at-home moms. I'm actually really glad that we're getting that perspective, because I think so many times we're getting like the magician's assistant or like the whatever. I knew you would like that reference. There are a ton of stay-at-home parents, and I think I assume that a lot of them watch Survivor. So I think having that perspective would be really good. She is very warm. Like, I get a really warm vibe from her. I really like her off the bat. What do you think?
No, I really like Heather. She is the oldest woman on the season, which I think would be her one detriment. You know what I mean? Like, sure. Anytime you're the oldest person on a season, that could hurt you. So,
but she dresses like a drunken, sunburned sailor.
What does it say?
She said, well, Dave just said, I'm getting Lisa vibes from Heather. However, Heather said, what is something we would never know from looking at you? I had a challenging upbringing. I have a passion for opossums, and I cuss like a drunken, sunburned sailor. I am non-Heather.
I like that. And maybe me not having a picture of her and doing this completely wrong will actually be a good omen for her. Maybe she'll end up being the winner because I totally butchered getting the right picture. I put Tiffany twice for those who are wondering. Which Tiffany's only on the season once. Heather is on this tribe, so at least I have the right tribe going. But yeah. I lost her.
I'm liking her a lot. I'm a big Heather fan.
Yeah, I mean, I like her. I think she's got a good shot. Now let's talk about the women on this tribe though. So far, we have Heather, Sydney, and Erica. Do we see a world where those three women all team up and actually play this game together?
I was mixing that up. I was thinking Evie was on that tribe, but that was the second tribe. Yeah, ooh, out of the two of them, I don't know. On paper, I'm trying to think of which two would pair up. I don't know. I think depends on how like the men breakdown looks.
Yeah, I mean
they're all very different.
Yeah, I do not really think that these three women are going to pair up. I think that could be to their detriment, because I think the three guys will pair up, because mm-hmm. when we get to the guys, I think that they actually are like groups that would play this game together. And so I have the Heather picture, but I don't know. I can't. So I'm looking at Heather. Everybody else will find Heather. Heather, sorry, if you're watching, blame it on me or Alexa. You can blame it on
Phil.
Let's look at the men, though, because I think the men, actually, I think this is a good grouping here for the men. So we start off with Danny, ex-NFL player.
Sure looks it. He's jacked.
He's jacked. He could beat me up, I think. Maybe. Probably. I'd give him like a 51% chance of beating me up. What do you think about Danny being an ex-NFL player coming out and playing Survivor?
I am very unconcerned for him. I think he is going to be I mean, you and I are both football fans. I don't think, you know, I can't name every single player. I haven't heard of him, and I think that is a good thing. I think whether or not he's a Survivor fan, I'm not sure. I feel like sometimes, like, if he is a recruit, I feel like then that isn't going to work for him, because I just feel like they don't tend to do very well. However, there's a lot more to him than just being a past NFL player. However, I am pretty sure he might be a recruit because he wants to play like Ben.
I don't know, man. I want to play like Ben. I would say Ben. Maybe.
I like Ben.
I mean, Ben's actually kind of like a random one to say. So that makes me, is he a recruit or did he just watch that season when he went back and watched? I don't know. The one thing I will say is people tend to think that famous people are at a disadvantage when they come out and play Survivor. To win the game, yes. To actually get your footing in the game, not at all. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that time and time again. We see Mike White get all the way to the end of the game, even though everybody knew he was Ned Shively. We see Cliff Robinson get his footing and become so likable, that's the reason he gets voted out. Alan Ball goes just because he butts heads with Joe Mena. But then you start to look at Lisa Welchel, makes it all the way to the end of the game. You have Steve Wright, Grant Matos. They both make it very far. And yes, they were both in Redemption Island. It's a season that Boston Rob is on, and a couple other people might show up every now and then. But ex-athletes actually do pretty well on Survivor, despite the fact that they don't really ever have a chance to win.
Yeah, he definitely do well in terms of longevity.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't think he'll win. Just like upsettingly, I just hit the cards on are in his favor for that.
That's what I think too. I think that ultimately he'll get near the end, and then I think something will end up getting in his way that'll stop him from being able to win. Just because he'll be too physical, or he'll have like people follow something. It's just not going to work out for him in the end, as it always does for these people who come out and.
Yeah, I can see him. I think he totally makes the merge.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Who are the other men on his tribe who we think he's going to vibe with?
So we go next to my man, Nasir.
Yeah.
I love Nasir. He was originally going to be my winner pick, but then I had to like convince myself like, no, like he's not going to win, Phil. Stop. He is a sales manager who for a large majority of his life grew up without running water in Sri Lanka, like had nothing. He says he's achieved the American dream, grew up in poverty, living in a mud hut with no electricity or running water for half his life, never held a cell phone or touch computer until he was 18.
Wow.
Worked his way up from selling vegetables on the street to making multi-million dollar sales for his company. Here he is. He's a cricket player who plays like semi-professional cricket. I love Nasir. I think Nasir is one of the best casting decisions they've made in a long time. And I think that Nasir is somebody who can win this game without a doubt.
I love this story. Mm-hmm. I hope he tells no one.
Yeah, exactly.
I genuinely think that that will probably be a big deciding factor for him, because this is somebody who clearly has had a very different path through life than a lot of this cast. And I think a lot of people in general who play Survivor. And he seems like he's clearly somebody who knows how to work his way around a difficult situation. So I think that's really good. He does not seem like somebody who is particularly braggy or would maybe feel the need to bring it up in a way that could be detrimental to him because of how impressive and inspirational of a story this is.
Yeah.
I like him a lot. How did you know that he's like semi professional with cricket? Does he say that here? I saw that's one of his hobbies.
I stalked all these people to do our Patreon content. So if you want to hear just like me talk for 5 minutes about every one of these people, become a $20 patron, because I did my research. I did my homework. Here, I'll throw it up just so everybody knows it's here, and we'll do it while Nasir is standing there.
Patreon.com/survivor specialist.
There it is. So that's where I found it. I just saw it on there. I think he's got a really good shot here. I think ultimately he'll end up getting cut near the end. But my thinking with this tribe, and maybe I'm completely wrong, but here's my thinking with this tribe. They're going to go to tribal one time. They're going to vote out Heather or Erica. And I actually think the guys and Sydney are going to be an alliance that happens here. I think Sydney is going to surprisingly get along with these guys, where out of all of them, the only one with like some ripped body is Danny. But I think the way that this tribe is lined up, it's not like Sydney's going to go out there looking to flirt and do all that stuff. I think that she's going to align with these guys. I think she's going to have the best personality that fits with the guys. And I think that they're going to see her as a really strong competitor. And I think the four of them have a really good shot to do some things in this game. So that's what I have for that.
Awesome. Yeah, I think Sydney's probably the one who connects the most. But I don't know. Maybe this is because I just really like Heather. But I think they will be drawn to Heather. I think she's not somebody who seems like she's going to be like the weird separate, like she's older, like she's so separate. She's like terrible in challenges. I actually think that she'll contribute quite a bit that they would potentially keep her over someone else.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that it's like the guys picking which of the three girls. I think there very well could be one of these guys who sticks out too.
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. All right, let's go to this guy then. And this is the last person from this season.
Final contestant.
Deshaun Radden, who's living down here in Miami right now. Ooh, what's Miami up, Deshaun? Call me. Here. He's living down here in Miami. His answers are long. He did some YouTube thing called What's Up Doc that you're able to find. It doesn't have very many views, but I'm telling you, I stalked these people. So I know everything about Deshaun.
What can you tell me about him? Because I've been reading his answers and they're long, but I'm not getting anything major out of them.
Yeah, he's long-winded. That's about it. He's like a medical scribe or a medical student, something like that. And I think that it says he's a medical student, but I think he was like a medical scribe. I don't know what the difference.
Okay.
I don't know what a scribe does. But anyway, I just think that he's a very positive guy. He's just got
He seems empathetic. He mentions that a lot.
Yeah. And I think like where David is a neurosurgeon and you'd be like, oh, he like works like with people and he's like a doctor, whatever. I think Deshaun is going to be that guy. Gamer Girl saying here, she doesn't like that Deshaun wants to be a villain to the audience. I didn't realize that he was going to be try to be a villain to the audience. That's very Brian Heidick though, because he wants to be a hero to everybody else. I just think at the end of the day, I don't think this guy's going to become villainous really at all.
Yeah, and he doesn't say it. I mean, his past survivors, he wants to be like Serene and Wendell. I mean, they're pretty universally loved people. So,
Jordan says he's kind of like Jamal. I mean, maybe that's kind of the personality here where it is layered. I mean, Jamal for sure had heroic moments and then he had some villainous moments. So I think like maybe Deshaun fits in there and just, I don't know. I like Deshaun. I think that Deshaun, Danny, and Nasir are going to have no problem all teaming up together. I really think that they're going to have no problem all teaming up together. And I think that's going to help them.
Yeah. I know. And that's the thing. All three of these tribes, there's six people. There is not a lot of wiggle room. You need to find someone quickly and you need to find two or three people pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Wow. And that's when you have six people. Now here's my question. Do we think that there's going to be tribe swaps early and often in this game? I think that there's only going to be one tribe swap before the merge, but I like, there's only 26 days. So if you switch them up after three votes this time, you're switching them up after like 6 days. What's the point when normally it's after 12 or 13 days?
Yeah. And I would hope that maybe, you know, with they're just being a lot more intentional with this cast, that I assume they're being a lot more intentional about why they put certain people on certain tribes. So hopefully they are more intentional about letting us understand why everyone was put on these tribes.
Yeah, for sure.
Could hope.
I'm hoping that it's just one swap and that's all we get and we just roll from there. All right, Alex, so we just went through the entire cast. Who was your initial take here? Because we've been talking about this for months. Let's be real. Who is your initial take to actually win the season? I've made like three different winner picks, but now
I know I've been looking. I kind of dance around a little bit. I think this is something that I never, ever do, but I'm going to pick a man and a woman and they're both pretty young. I actually am going to pick, I'm going to pronounce his name incorrectly, Jairus Robinson. I think he very well could win. And I normally would never, ever pick the 20-year-old. I think he's 20. But I don't think he comes off as 20 at all. I think this is a cast that is very young. So I don't think that is in any way like a Michael Yerger kind of situation. And I also really like Sarah Wilson. And that's not because she lives in Boston. But I get
a little bit.
It's something similar from both of them where they're both clearly on the younger ends of the age spectrum of this season. But I think they're both intentional. They both strike me as very empathetic. I'm liking both of them. I liked Nasir too, but I don't want to pick him.
I'm having such a hard time because the people that I like that are calling to me the most are Nasir and Liana. But how in the world do Nasir or Liana win this season? We've never seen anybody like the two of them. Liana is so young. Nasir is the first casting choice of this type that we've ever seen. How do one of them actually end up winning this season? Like, and then when we did see, like, people were comparing him to Ty because Ty grew up in Vietnam and all that. When you do see Ty and then you say Nasir is most similar to that, we saw Ty get smoked at the final tribal council. So I sit here and I say, who actually, if you're breaking it down in a way of like, who can win based on what we've seen in Survivor history and how all of that goes, man, I'm having a hard time.
I know, this is a hard one.
I'm having a hard time not going with either Tiffany for the women or Ricard for the men. Mainly because Ricard, we have literally seen Ricard win the game and play arguably the best game in Survivor history, and that's Todd. And then Tiffany, I feel like that is the age of, in this long stretch of women not winning Survivor, the Tiffany's, that age range, that type of woman, is the type of woman that has actually done the best in that long range of Survivor being what Survivor is. Winners at War was something different because Michelle and Natalie, they went far, but they obviously, Natalie's the first one voted off. Michelle had really no target coming into that, whereas somebody like Kim, who's older and would fit in this age group now, has a massive target and what's going to happen. So I'm kind of leaning towards I think I'm going to go with Tiffany or Ricard, and I'm just going to see how it goes. I think an underrated person is definitely going to be Eric. I think Eric is somebody who could surprise people. But Liana and Nasir are where my heart was at first.
What's Eric's last name?
Abraham. Eric was the first one we did an hour and a half ago. Yeah.
Yeah. I like Eric. Yeah, I know. I feel like the early people we talk about, they are like, it doesn't
have no shot.
Phil, what did you just put on the screen? Patreon.com/survivor specialist.
Yes. Find us there. This is happening early. So if you become a patron today, you'll get our $10 or $20 patron. You get our last day of official daily content tomorrow, which is the retrospective. Alexa and I are going to be podcasting, I think, tomorrow, right? Closing out our Ultimate Survivor season. We were not expecting this to happen tonight at all. We're happy it did, though. I mean, now it's great because after tomorrow, we really are done talking about past Survivor. We are only talking about 41, and I'm so excited to be back in that routine. Today we're talking about Survivor Panama tomorrow. And today I actually did sit down and I watched Survivor Panama, and I was like, this is the last time I'm going to watch an old Survivor episode for a very long time.
It's so good. And because this happened early, this is again an August cast release. We are obviously we have to work out the exact dates that we're going to be doing our boot list and our prop bet, in our fantasy.
Yeah.
But we'll make sure to divide it up sort of the way we usually do, either once a week or like a Wednesday and a Sunday. Leading up into the season, we are 3 weeks and 2 days away from the season, which is incredible to say out loud.
We are so close. And if you become a $20 patron, you get to partake in our power rankings game, which Alexa and I, we do the power rankings every week, where we sit down, bring on a guest of some sort, and we rank the players one to however many are left. And if you become a $20 patron, you can participate and we give away a buff to the winner. So that's also exciting. So there's good times going on there. We have that. We have the daily content, which if you become a patron now, you'll get 200 and something days of daily content where you just go back and listen to it all. And yeah, that's it. I'm very excited for season 41. I'm excited to see how it's going to shape out. I will have a real winner pick by the time we actually get to these games and stuff.
Yeah, we'll get there. This is all just the purely speculative ones.
Yeah, we're just being speculative now.
Oh, feels good to be back.
Feels good. The preseason has officially begun. We are there. We have made it, and I cannot wait to see where we go from here. So,
you guys,
Alexa, we get it.
Tomorrow night at 5 p.m. We wrap up a off-season project.
Yes, and we have millions of other ones. If you're a new listener, go listen to our millions of other projects we just did during the off-season because it was chaotic.
Yeah.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.